This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer, and I'm coming to you off another Phillies victory. Another series win is after losing the first game of the Dodgers series here in Philadelphia. Chase Utley's return for the final time. They fall 7-5 in the first game in a frustrating loss in the sense that they fought back, took the lead, unable to hold it. Very rare that Sir Anthony Dominguez gives away. But then after that, in what we all talked about being a measuring stick kind of series, a series against the first place Los Angeles Dodgers, a team that was coming in after just stealing Manny Machado right out from under you, a team that has been playing red hot baseball after a bad first month plus of the season. They come in here, and after losing that first game, this, again, I feel like it is the single word I have said the most all season long talking about this team, but this resilient bunch of Philadelphia Phillies players fight back, win, of course, 2 days ago, the 16-inning marathon, potentially season-defining type of win with Trevor Plouffe and the walk-off home run, the whole, extra innings affair, Chase Utley, the ovation. We'll get to that coming up a little later as I have some thoughts on that, but the Phillies ultimately walk it off in the 16th, and then they come out yesterday in a day game after a game that ended at 1:15 in the morning. Less than 12 hours later, 12:35, they take the field for the series capper, the rubber match, and the Phillies just take care of business. And yet again, as they do, it seems in every game, they go down early. 1-0 in the first inning is Jake Arrieta, struggling in the first a little bit. Don't get me wrong, the defense didn't help him out either, as there were some issues there as well. Andrew Knapp in the first inning. First and foremost, it was a runner on first and a ball four pitch. It was in the dirt, clearly ball four, and the runner is stealing on it, attempting to steal, and of course, it's a walk, so it doesn't matter. And Andrew Knapp just fires the ball into center field. It was one of the worst throws I've ever seen a catcher make. Had some problems blocking the plate as well in that first inning. Just a rough first inning. Ultimately, a run scores, not necessarily through too much the fault of Jake Arrieta on a sacrifice fly. But then this Phillies team, as they always do, as they do in, game out, they storm back right away. The first inning, Rhys Hoskins, fourth homer in five games. I said one of my big second half predictions in our All-Star break shows was that Rhys Hoskins was going to go on a tear at some point soon and was going to carry this team for a month, and it 10 or 12 homers in a month. He's already got four here in a pretty quick span. So Hoskins already making that prediction look potentially good off the bat as ties it up at 1-1. Arrieta and Walker Buehler then duel pretty effectively for the next few innings. Arrieta, a couple of 1-2-3 innings, got a big double play in the fifth that he needed. But then it gets the fourth, then it gets to the fifth, Arrieta able to get through it. And then the Phillies finally busted open a little bit, put some runs on the board, changed the 1-1 game to a 6-1 game by the end of the inning. Scott Kingery gets it going with just his fifth home run of the season. One he just kind of just pushed as hard as he could, kind of carried out the opposite way. It looked potentially like it was going to get called back as a double, as a fan might have reached out onto the field, but ultimately the replay didn't show that. Kingery, his fifth homer of the season, gives them a lead they would not relinquish. 2-1 there, and then the Phillies just start piling on. Andrew Knapp, a big RBI double, and then a few batters later, Carlos Santana caps off the inning with a bases-clearing triple, as we saw the big man hustling around to third base on that triple, his second triple of the season. Again, this one a bases clearing one. Santana with runners in scoring position has been really good. I know the struggles we've had, but so far a nice start to the second half, or the metaphorical second half for Santana. That was certainly a big hit in this game. Broke it wide open. Arrieta runs into some trouble in the sixth, gives up a two-run homer to Max Muncy, ultimately able to get through it. Six innings, three earned runs for Arrieta, six strikeouts. Not a great outing, but certainly looked better than his last one, which was rough, and a little bit more control. The ball seemed to be moving a little bit better for Arrieta. The six strikeouts, certainly evidence of that. So, again, you know, it's bad and good with Arrieta. Sometimes he looks just absolutely awful, and sometimes he looks okay. Yesterday, luckily, looked okay against a good Dodgers lineup, at least until that sixth inning. Ultimately, the bullpen able to carry it out. The Phillies add an insurance run in the eighth, and Nick Williams bloop RBI single gets an insurance run in 7-3. And then Victor Arano, shout out to Victor Arano, another clean inning for Victor yesterday, as Victor just continues to look really, really good over the last month or so. Had some struggles when he came back off the DL, but it's almost like we forgot that prior to the DL, he'd had the perfect game's worth of innings, you know, or whatever, you know, 27 plus, or was it 32 straight batters he retired. He was really someone we felt like we could count on, and then the injury and didn't pitch as well when he came back. But potentially Victor Arano, someone we can count on here, which is would be exciting, as you hope they still fortify the pen. But Zach Britton off the board, as we discussed yesterday, the Yankees. So the options starting to dwindle, and the market maybe a little bit more buyers out there than sellers, which could, of course, create a tough spot for the Phillies. So anytime we can feel like we have guys in this pen, we can count confidently on it. I think it's an important thing. Adam Morgan comes in, gets a couple outs, runs into some trouble. Sir Anthony Dominguez comes in the eighth, looking for a four-out save, it appears. And man, did the heart stop there in the eighth as Alex Verdugo comes to the plate as the tying runner and took one deep. But Odubel Herrera able to make the grab. The inning comes to an end, and then the Phillies in the ninth, after Nick Williams adds that extra insurance run, Sir Anthony able to get through it. A little bit up and down, definitely not his best stuff. Certainly had more control in the ninth than he did when he came in the eighth, but ultimately able to get the job done. The Phillies close it out, a 7-3 victory. They now improve to 57-44 on the season. They are a game and a half up on the Atlanta Braves, who did not play yesterday. They are seven up on the Nationals. The Nationals a game under 500. This Phillies team, 13 games over 500 right now. And again, we talked about it a lot as a measuring stick series, but it really was. This is a Dodgers team that had been playing great baseball. They just went out and traded for Manny Machado. You know, we talked so much about what Machado could mean to this Phillies lineup. He goes to Los Angeles. That team comes here with all the emotion of the Chase Utley return and all that. And the Phillies are able to take two out of three. And not just that, they were right there in all three and could have won that first game as well. And certainly outplayed them in game three, no question. And outlasted them in game two. And were able to do what it took to win two games out of three in this series. And I just thought it was a really impressive series for this young team. And again, we've talked a lot about how impressive they've been on a macro scale, especially considering where we all kind of expected them to finish. Though I did say 88 wins to start the season, and they're on pace for 91. So maybe even I was a little too skeptical. But you know, all the questions of if they're for real and all that, as Rhys Hoskins said after the game, he said, I think we've answered that question, and I totally agree. This team is not going anywhere, no matter what fortifications are made at the deadline. They'll be there. I do think that there will be fortifications made, and you know, we'll get into that in a little bit, as well as the Indians and Phillies appear to be fighting for the services of a particular outfielder. We'll get to that in a bit, but again, I just can't talk about enough about how impressive this club has been, how young they are with the amount of rookies that have played so far this season, the amount of major league debuts we've seen. I can't remember where I saw it on Twitter. Someone tweeted out that I think it was six major league debuts so far this season for the Phillies. It might have been by Ben Harris or or Matt Gelb or somebody like that. But ultimately, that's a really impressive number. And we're going to see another today. We'll get to that as the lefty Ranger Suarez will make the first left-handed start for a Philly since 2016, which is crazy. That's coming up in Cincinnati tonight. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But again, just the youth of this team and factoring in the first-year manager. I know we've talked about this a lot, but it doesn't cease to continue to amaze me how Gabe Kapler, after that first week of the season and the heat that guy took, and how he has refined what he does and learned on the job and made smart decisions and created a culture and has the youngest team in baseball playing at an incredibly high level night in, night out. And again, the resiliency isn't something to be taken lightly. A lot of people look at their great record in extra inning games, their great record in one-run games and all that, and say, oh, well, you know, they're getting lucky. And I think that if you watch this team on a night-in, night-out basis, you know that's not the case. You know that it's actually maybe the opposite when you look at the fact that the defense has stunk. Night in, night out, the defense has been just flat-out bad. The only thing we've been able to count on start to finish has been the starting pitching, which obviously is incredibly important, but with streaks of the offense being terrible, stretches where the bullpen has been bad, to have this team where they're at right now, I just think it's really impressive how this group of guys has gotten the most out of it. And I think that the thing is that resiliency shows on an every night basis. But every time they have a tough loss, every time they encounter some sort of block in the road, they always find a way to go around it. They always find a way to bounce back. There is nothing that seems to knock this team down. And it's just, it's been fun and incredibly impressive to watch. And for such a young group of guys, like Rhys Hoskins is a perfect example. The way that guy carries himself, the way he goes about his business, the quotes coming out where he talked about with the Dodgers in town and the electricity in the ballpark, how he never wanted it not to feel that way again. And that is awesome to hear. I think it's just been really exciting. I think going to the Home Run Derby, it's funny because there was the old Bobby Abreu and, oh, the Home Run Derby is going to ruin his swing and all that with Rhys and anyone who goes to the Home Run Derby. And not only does it look like it maybe helped his swing just trying to worry about lifting the ball out of the park, but I also think that experience was good for him to go down and be with all those All-Stars and see what it's like on the national stage. I think it's kind of awoken that hunger in him to be one of those guys consistently. So I'm fired up. Fired up about Hoskins, fired up about this team. Something else I'm fired up about that I have to mention because it was a big talking point yesterday. And shout out to Chase Utley, of course, his probable final trip to Philly unless they play in the playoffs. And even then, who knows if he'll be on the playoff roster, all that stuff. But I'm sorry, and I loved the first ovation that Chase got, and I'm even fine with cheering for him every time he came to the plate. Where I had an issue, and this seemed to be a big thing yesterday, was after the 16-inning game, when Chase Utley came up in the 12th inning as a pinch hitter, and everyone cheered like crazy, and fine, that's cool, I get it. But when Chase Utley hits a single in a tie game, in the 12th inning against my team that is competing for a playoff spot against his team, I am not cheering for Chase Utley. And I think it is absolutely ridiculous that anyone did. I understand that we love Chase Utley. He's my favorite player ever. I get it as well as anybody. And I love the way he played the game. I respect the way he played the game. I respect everything about him, but that doesn't mean that I can cheer against my team in all essence. And then to boo when the pitcher tried to pick him off. I mean, it's just, look, I understand it. I love Chase Utley again, but I don't even think Chase Utley would want us to do that. Chase Utley's the most fiercely competitive guy we've seen on this team in the last 30 years. You think he wants someone cheering against that team on the field? And I get it. I get it. Again, I understand that we want to show Chase Utley love. And that's why I'm totally fine, again, with cheering as he comes up to bat, which they did in a very long, loud way. It was not some smattering of applause. It was a good 50 seconds, again, of just everyone in that ballpark standing up and cheering the crap out for Chase Utley. And again, I was totally fine with that. But once the at-bat starts, once the competition again commences, you got to stop cheering for him. You can't cheer for the single. You can't cheer for him as a base runner. He represented the winning run at that point in the game. I'm so surprised that there are so many people who thought it was a good thing to do or thought it was okay. I really do. I feel like, look, if the Phillies were 25 games under 500, maybe it's a different scenario. Maybe you give a little more leeway because maybe the game just doesn't matter quite as much as the moment does. But in that case, it did. I mean, we talk, as I just said before, I think you could look at that 16-inning win against that Dodgers team in that moment as a potential season-defining type of victory. And you're cheering for Chase Utley to get on base and potentially score the winning run and eliminate that possibility. Granted, it didn't happen. And I know a lot of people say, well, it didn't end up affecting the game. But you don't know that in the moment. That's results-based thinking. You can't look at that and say, well, they won, so it was all good. That's all right. You understand that. I understand that. So, I get too fired up when I think about this because I feel very strongly that, and I think Chase Utley would too. You cheer for your team when it's competition. You can honor the guy as much as you want before the game, before his at-bat, after the game. But when he is hitting against your team and he is doing things that could end up losing your team the game, you gotta cheer for the team. That's at least my opinion. All right, coming up, we'll look ahead. Ranger Suarez makes his Major League debut. Plus, I mentioned it before, a new trade rumor on the horizon with the Phillies that we have not discussed yet. And again, look, none of these have come true yet, but it seems like the Phillies are in on a particular outfielder. So all that and more coming up in just a minute. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. We're coming right back. We are back. It is Phillies Today. James Seltzer, as I need to compose myself after my Chase Utley ovation rant. And again, I love Chase Utley, but when the game is on, the game is on. I think Utley would agree. All right. Quickly, as we look ahead to the July 31st trade deadline coming up, as we are now officially 1 week away from that deadline, officially less than a week, or 5 days from that deadline right now. Look, the Phillies have been linked to a lot of names so far, some that have already been moved. Machado, of course, Brad Hand, Zach Britton was a very hot name for this Phillies team in the rumor mill, but another name from that Orioles team. It seems like as soon as an Oriole is on the block, the Phillies are the team that are involved, and this one was reported as the Phillies are considering an offer for, was the way it was phrased. And that is that Adam Jones, longtime Oriole, prior to that a Mariner, Adam Jones had a really nice career in Baltimore. He's not really a Phillies type of hitter in the sense that he never walks. He hates walking. He goes up there to swing the bat, and he's going to swing it. But Adam Jones, a really nice player. I think if you got him as a platoon outfielder here to play instead of Aaron Altair, obviously he was sent down to the minors. Look, I think this team absolutely needs an outfielder. And in general, I think that when you look at this team's bench, they need to fortify it. We've talked a lot about how resilient this team has been, how great they've been, how fun they've been. But they're also, a really young team, and they also have a really bad bench right now. And I say that with all deference and respect to Trevor Plouffe's 16th innings heroics. Not even mind Plouffe. Plouffe's all right. He can hit, but he shouldn't be playing the outfield. Mitch Walding, who's been going up and down, sent back down for Jake Thompson yesterday, he should not be on a major league roster. No offense to Mitch. And Jesmal Valentine is like the definition of below average. And he's fine as a filling guy. He can play multiple positions, but his defense hasn't been stellar. We saw it again yesterday and the day before. He's had some real issues defensively. And he's a switch hitter who is significantly better from the right side of the plate, and yet unfortunately seems to be batting from the left side of the plate most of the time, as you see a lot more right-handed pitchers than left-handed pitchers. So Jesmal Valentine, if they could do something to add a piece like Adam Jones in the outfield and then get a Asdrubal Cabrera in the infield. We talked about Cabrera the last couple days. That's another name they've been linked to is someone like that. He could play multiple positions in the infield. Switch hitter who can actually hit a little bit from both sides of the plate, Jesmal. And Carrera, of course, has been in big games before. He's a nice guy to add to this team, I think, and the Mets obviously willing to move pieces right now. And the other name that we've heard a lot, though, this would be a name where I think you would have to turn Scott Kingery into a utility guy, which, again, I don't think is that bad an idea at this point? I know you want to get him developmental bats. And I think there's a real interesting philosophical discussion in there is how important is the developmental at bats versus going for it this year. And I believe that when you're at this point in the season, when this team is 13 games above 500, you have to go for it a little bit. And I'm not saying trade the future. I'm not saying mortgage anything for the future, because I still believe that 2019 and beyond is the priority for this team. And it should be. But you have to do what you can to help these guys out. This team has fought to get to this point. Gabe Kapler, the coaching staff. And I think that if you have the opportunity to get a guy like Eduardo Escobar, let's say, who is a significantly better major league hitter than Scott Kingery right now, and probably a better shortstop for that matter, I think you have to really consider doing that, depending on what the cost is. And a rental, he's a free agent at the end of the year, so the cost shouldn't be prohibitive. And I think that, look, I think Klentak has done a nice job so far this trade deadline season of pulling back when the deals have gotten off the table. When with Manny Machado, with Brad Hand, with Zach Britton, these deals that we see being made, they are too rich for the Phillies' blood, and they should be. These are deals for rental players, and Hand, obviously controlled, but a great prospect that was traded for him that the Phillies can't match. And then the other two guys are rentals that are getting way overbid with legitimate prospects. So I don't blame Klentak for what he's done, but I do think that he has to go out and add something to this bullpen, add a bat, or even two, because this team is legitimately a contender, at least for the National League crown, and certainly for the playoffs. So I think that Matt Klentak has an obligation to do something to help this team out, especially that bench. I mean, Jesmal Valentin, Trevor Plouffe, and Mitch Walding. Oh my God, that's so bad. It's not going to get it done. And Dylan Cousins isn't the answer. And I'm taking Andrew Knapp out of the equation because he's a catcher, obviously. But and he's done a nice job for the most part with the bat. But again, they need to do something. And I think he will. But it's going to be interesting to see how they approach this. Adam Jones, an interesting name. Certainly someone who can help in the outfield. Again, right now, they don't really have a backup outfielder on the roster. So with Aaron Altair in the minors. So really something to consider. And should be interesting to see how that plays out. All right. Coming up, four-game series in Cincinnati before heading to Boston for two and then coming back home to face Miami and Arizona. The Phillies' Ranger Suarez will take the hill tonight. He is the first left-handed starter to make a start for the Phillies since 2016, which is absolutely outrageous. Suarez, 22 years old. He was Baseball America's number 7 prospect within the Phillies organization at the midseason rankings they just did. As he's been really good so far this year. A 4-3 record in Double-A with a 2.76 ERA, 54 Ks in 75 innings. Not that impressive. He's not a strikeout guy, which worries me always because, I like the guys who can rear back and throw someone and strike someone out when they need to. But the results have been there in AAA, a 0.57 ERA in 3 starts, 15 innings there. He has a fastball, slider, and changeup. The fastball and slider are his 2 best pitches. The changeup still needs work, but he's a crafty lefty. He doesn't throw super hard. He's in the 90 to 93 range, but he's someone who at his age has had some success. He's tough to see. He's a deceptive pitcher. And again, I think it's going to be fun to see him come up and pitch. It's fun seeing these guys like De Los Santos and Suarez and these arms come up and show you something and make you feel even more excited about a future that is already looking bright with where they're at right now. So this should be a fun one tonight as the Reds 4-6 in their last 10, but on the whole playing much better baseball after a bad month plus to start the season. Pivetta versus Anthony Desclafani tomorrow, Vincent Velasquez versus Matt Harvey on Saturday, then Zach Eflin against Luis Castillo, who was awesome last year, breakout type guy, and has really struggled this year. So it's going to be a big series, a fun series. It's a big series in the sense that if the Phillies can take 3 of 4 and just keep rolling here, they're a game and a half up on the Braves. And the opportunity to kind of build that lead against a Reds team that the Phillies are better than. And they have an opportunity to go out there and take this series and win 3 out of 4 would be a real positive. So we'll be back. We'll talk all about this series tomorrow as we dive into the rest of it after we get to see Ranger Suarez make his debut again tonight. As we continue to add to the awesome names on this team, by the way, as we've already gotten Sir Anthony Dominguez. It doesn't get much better than that, but We have also had Eniel De Los Santos come up, a terrific name, and now Ranger Suarez. It's almost like the Phillies pick players partially based on their names. They're so awesome. So it'll be fun to see how Suarez does tonight. We'll be back to break all that and a whole lot more down tomorrow on Phillies Today. But keep it here. We have you covered all day long right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.